This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends up. Yeah! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back to back. Three out of four. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots return home to face the New York Jets.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, taking you up to the Patriots and Jets. 4:25 kickoff Eastern time. Both sides come in at 3-3. And guys, before we look ahead to this matchup, let's look back at what happened last Sunday in Seattle for the Patriots. It seemed like they had righted the ship after back-to-back losses coming into that game. Where do they stand now following that loss to the Seahawks?
They stand, like you said, ready to bounce back, I think, today against the Jets. But, you know, there was some, I think, some questioning this week. I think the coach was under some fire from fans and talk radio types. And, you know, Brady, strangely, was under fire. You know, those two intentional groundings really seemed to irritate a lot of fans. And, you know, I just said this on the Sports Hub. Last week was a game where all three phases lost. I mean, they couldn't get a first down. Brady made some poor throws during the game. Special teams, you give up a big return that puts them in position to have a chance to win that game. And if you take the Patriots at their word, put them in position for the Patriots defense to say they could run here and have your base defense on the field and then give up a 46-yard touchdown because Tavon Wilson bites on sort of a flag route rather than the post. And you lose. And I think we all thought they could lose last week. Didn't predict it, but thought they could lose. There were some factors at play. But 3-3, as you started it, it's just not what the Patriots are supposed to be after six games.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it was the Buffalo game where Belichick in the post-game locker room, you know, part of his message after congratulating everybody was like, you know, let's put some together now. Let's start getting some wins together. Well, they were able to win the following week against Denver, but, you know, they haven't been able to play consistent football. And even against Denver, some of the things that plagued them against Seattle last week, I thought, were evident against Denver as well. Late in the game, in terms of offensive execution with the lead, and some of the defensively. It should be easier playing with a big lead. It seems like for this team, it's not. They have some problems in those areas. And just that overall lack of consistency that is so atypical of New England. They consistently win, but they're not really playing consistent football. And right now, they're finding it hard to close out games and get a lot of things accomplished. So 3-3 is pretty much what you deserve right now because you haven't been consistent within games for 60 minutes, and you also haven't been consistent, obviously, from week to week.
They are in first place.
First time Patriots have been 3-3, and as you mentioned, they're in first place, just like everyone else in the division right now at 3-3.
Or last place, however you want to. They're tied for
something. Depending on how you look at it. Patriots 3-3 through six games. Last time that was the case was 2005, when they were also 3-3. Last time they were below 500 after seven games, 2002, when they were 3-4. So that's something they're staring down today. Against their opponent, the New York Jets, coming in here to Foxborough, they had a bounce-back performance after a few low points earlier this season. With a win last week. I guess game plan-wise for the Patriots, offensively, let's start there. Because 2 weeks ago, we're talking about running the football. Last week, we see the Patriots throwing the football. How do they come out today against the Jets?
Is this my key to the game? I don't know. I didn't hear a little primer.
So
this
is just, it's not your official key. It's a question.
Okay,
about,
good. So it won't be my key.
The game plan.
They will come out and they will run the football. The Jets are not very good. I think they're 28th against the run. They allow 4.7 a carry. And I know Brandon Bolden is out, so you don't have your full complement of running backs. But to me, this is for day for the onesie man, Stephen Ridley, to get out there and get the running game going early. And then I do think they're susceptible to the pass, too. I think you can beat Antonio Cromartie. You know, I think you can certainly beat Laron Landry, the incredible bulk back there. So I think they will throw the ball with success, but I'd start it with the run and get Ridley going early and play action and have fun.
Yeah, I think that makes all the sense of the world offensively. That's what they have to do, I think, is take advantage of what the Jets do the worst. I think despite the Revis injury, that pass defense hasn't been bad. The numbers are pretty good. Now, I don't know if it's a product of the offenses that they faced. It probably is a little bit. In Houston and San Francisco, although very good teams, don't necessarily throw it all over the yard. So that probably helped them a little bit. But I agree with Andy. I think this is a game that you can get that balance back that you know, I know it's simplistic, but you look at the formula in the games that they've won in terms of their run-pass balance as opposed to the three games that they lost.
It seems
pretty simple.
Defensively,
you got to find a way to keep the receivers in front of you. I mean, you know that the Jets are going to want to run the ball. Andy made a comment on the pregame show, just because you want to be a running team doesn't mean you're good at it, and they're not good at it. So, to me, I
want to play basketball.
I don't expect to see Sean Green, really impact this game. But Stephen Hill or Jeremy Curley or, guys like this that maybe we don't know a whole lot about yet, they could. I mean, anybody can get deep on you. Last week it was a guy named Doug Baldwin. That hurt you early in the game, and Sidney Rice is a good player, and he hurt you late.
It's Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. We'll get to the guys' keys momentarily. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today.
I'd like to.
America runs on Dunkin'. I've seen you with a couple of donuts so far, so those are already down for the count.
And those were good.
Bagel down for the
count. I would
count.
Like to try one of these bacon cheddars. Is that what you call this?
Turkey cheddar bacon
turkey
or
cheddar
the ham
bacon.
And cheese bakery sandwich. I'm not
I would
sure.
go with the turkey cheddar
Which
bacon if anyone's listening.
One more before we get to the keys. On tape, what have you seen from Mark Sanchez to this point?
It's Mark Sanchez. He's a middling quarterback. He's what he shouldn't be as the sixth pick in the draft. Paul and I talked about this kind of walking out to the parking lot one day. He's one of those guys. Yeah, if the defense is good and the running game's good, he's probably fine for your NFL quarterback. Well, I can get that guy in like the fourth round or certainly the end of the first round. I drafted this guy sixth. This guy should be a franchise quarterback, and he's not that. He is not a franchise quarterback. He hasn't had great days here. I tweeted that out earlier. No interceptions last year in the regular season game, but I think 3 and 4 in the two games before that. He certainly can throw interceptions in bunches. And I know, who was the guy? Michael Irvin, maybe. One of those bold predictions was he'd throw 5 picks today. I think that's a little strong. But
I also don't see that as a bold prediction.
he certainly is susceptible to that, and he's just – it's the story of the Jets. The reason they haven't evolved is because he hasn't evolved. And I know there's other aspects, and you get injuries, and Sean Green's probably not as good as they expected him to be. But it starts with the quarterback, and the quarterback is middling.
Yeah, on the one hand, I want to sit there and say, he's a guy who's developing. He has gotten better. They don't have a lot of weapons. They have a very bad offensive line. Despite having Nick Mangold, who's one of the best in the business, and DeBrickashaw Ferguson is okay at left tackle. He's not great, but he's okay. The other parts are so bad that they can't protect him. They don't really have any receivers. They don't have any real, dynamic element offensively to make a lot of big plays, although we'll see if Stephen Hill can develop into that. But at the other hand, I just don't think it takes a whole lot of talent to crack 50% in completion percentage. In his fourth year, you shouldn't be under 50% 6 games into the season. To me, that's just poor play. And Andy's right. I think he's one of those guys, if you have everything that you need to be a successful football team, he can be fine. But, I mean, who wouldn't be?
Yeah, but that's like...
Who wouldn't be fine
like
if
Ryan
he had everything?
Fitzpatrick. Okay, I got him out of Harvard. This is a guy at a USC I drafted
sixth overall, whatever it was.
He's supposed to be great. He's supposed to be their guy, and he's not their guy.
We'll get to your phone calls here, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. But first, let's get the guys' keys to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
All right, Andy, we'll start with you. What's your key here for Pat's Jets?
Well, what I said earlier was just important stuff. It wasn't keys to the game. This is the keys to the game. And it starts with no big plays allowed. I mean, it's very simple. If you don't let Stephen Hill and Jeremy Curley hit for big plays, you win this football game. I think that's the only chance the Jets have. And I think it's kind of a legitimate one at this point until they prove they can stop anybody. And some of the DBs said that this week. The more these teams see it on film, everybody's going to try to do it. Why wouldn't you? That's only smart. Whether you have a young quarterback, old quarterback, whatever it is, take some chances down the field. They have a guy, Stephen Hill, who that's kind of his college career, throwing the ball deep down the field. I think that's the key. Don't let those guys get behind you for big plays.
Yeah, I think that's certainly the key to me on the field. I agree with Andy. More of a sort of an intangible kind of thing. I mean, it's tangible in that you have to physically go out and do it, but I just think they need to finish. They're going to get a lead in this game, I'm pretty certain of.
It'd be a really bad game if they never lead.
No, but what I'm saying is I think that they're going to have a situation like they've had the last in their losses, where they have a two-score lead, in the fourth quarter. Finish it off. Finish off a drive. The red zone thing I'm not overly concerned about, because to me that was a one-week thing. But the fourth quarter is a concern for me. The four-minute offense is, because I think that's been a recurring theme. They need to put an end to that. Defensively, if you go out there and you have, let's say it's a similar situation to last year's game here, 30-21, I think it was, and the Jets take over with 5 minutes left. Well, let's not let New York go 80 yards on six plays to make it 30-28 and force the offense back on the field. So finish on both sides of the ball. They need to do a better job of that.
I want to get to one story here before we get to some of the feedback from our listeners. This story about the Jets and their defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, already going to the league and basically saying, look, we're going to talk to them about slowing the Patriots down and making sure we can at least get our substitutions in offensively. How big of a factor is that?
I don't think it's a huge factor, but I think it's smart for them, because coming back home, they're going to want to run you off the field. That hurry up is going to be a portion of this game at some point. Certainly if they can do what they did against Denver, which is hurry up and run. And the Jets aren't good against the run, so there's certainly a chance they could get that going again. And I think it's, Pete was kind of complaining about it a little bit last week. And, I don't think that they're necessarily asking for a lot. I think, A, they're planting a seed in the official's head. Just kind of keep an eye on this, but just play it fair. They just want to make sure the Patriots aren't getting more than they should out of this no huddle. And I think it's good gamesmanship. I think whatever you want to call it, smart coaching, I think it's a good move.
I agree. And I think what, Andy and I talked about this off the air, what it's going to lead to, I think, is a good old fashioned beatdown today, because I think it's one of those things that's going to irritate Belichick.
And maybe like in the fourth quarter, they'll be going so, like every time they'll be using the full time on the clock and then scoring and saying, see, we slowed it down and still kicked your ass.
Maybe two Jets guys will be running off the field and Tom will back out from under center and look.
You good to go?
Ready?
I could legitimately see something like that.
I could see them taunting. I absolutely could. But I think Mike Pettin is got a, I think Andy's right. He's putting that seed out there, and they want to make sure that the referees are watching this. And Pete was upset about this last week during the Seattle game. And it's, when you go hurry up like that and you sub, you have to give some time. And against Denver, the Patriots were going so fast. They weren't always subbing either,
right,
in that game. But they were going so fast that
it was
hard to keep up.
Something we could see the Patriots do. We'll just stick with it. We won't sub. We'll ram the ball down your throat personnel.
And I do expect them to see that hurry up and run that Andy talked about, too, because you couple the Jets' run defense. They're giving up 150 yards a game on the ground. With the way the Patriots have success running the football, I could see the hurry up and run.
Well, and wasn't that how they beat the Jets here last year? Maybe not the hurry-up part so much, but certainly
the
running against
the last drive.
The sub packages.
Yes.
The
last drive.
Green Ellis just
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis' best game of the season last year was, I want to say, 136 yards. Something in that neighborhood was the game here in Foxborough. Right around this time of the season, it was a 27 to 21 lead, and they took about 4 or 5 minutes of the clock off and went down all the way, all on the ground, and kicked a field goal to make it a two-score game.
And the Jets stayed sub, you're right.
Yep, absolutely. Now, in 2010, in the playoff game, the Jets stayed sub in that game, and the Patriots couldn't take advantage of it. They tried. They ran the ball 28 times in that game but couldn't get anywhere. That's the difference, I think, between this Patriots team and some of the ones in the past, is when you go small, they're making you pay now.
And the Jets are also banged up on run defense.
All right, so we'll take your thoughts on a bunch of these things. 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Game plan offensively for the Pats. What do you want to see today? As well as the Jets already talking about trying to slow down the Patriots. Is it gamesmanship? Is it whining from them? We'll take your feedback. Before we get there, though, let's head over to the poll center and Matt LaPan.
How are we doing today, Adam?
Doing excellent.
All right, we're starting off pretty
simple. Good, how are you, Matt?
No pleasantries, just get to it.
All right, Felger. How many yards will the Patriots rush for today as a team? 0 to 99, 100 to 149, 50 to 199, 150, sorry.
I was going to take that one, just so you know. 50 to 199 felt like a safe pick. I'll take the 150 to 199. I think they're going to run it down their throats.
Yeah, I would say somewhere in that neighborhood. Somewhere around 150, I think sounds about right.
Anybody going to pick up the Brandon Bolden carries today? We got any predictions on that? Not the poll. Don't mean to step on your poll, but a side bet.
Does Shane Vereen get them, or does Danny Woodhead get more? Is that your question?
Basically.
I'm going to say Woodhead gets more.
Or maybe Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, I really would be opposed to that.
I would be, too. I think he would be, too.
Answer your own question, Andy. Who do you see getting the carries?
Bolden will be the guy. Yeah, I mean, Ridley will be the guy. I'm hoping Vereen. I'm still holding out hope. And the other aspect is Woodhead has finally fallen into the role I want him in. Five carries,
change
five catches, whatever it is. You know, some balance of that. And it's been productive for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I don't want to take him out of that. I don't want to see more of him out of that. I want to see him in that role, and maybe Vereen is the guy who is the change of pace back, and get him 10 touches. And sooner or later, we got to find out what he can do, aside from cover kicks and you know, be around. I mean, he's got to produce, and I think this is a game where Bolden's down. You kind of probably have somewhere in the range of 8 to 12 carries that could be picked up in there. I'd like to see those go to Vereen.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what kind of confidence level they have in him.
Well, then get rid of him. How do you build confidence if he can't play?
We don't like when it does it.
Package Shane Vereen and Rozai Dowling and see and see what you can go get. Let's hit some of these phone calls. 508-298.
How many guys? Wait a minute.
For Jared Allen?
How many guys do they have that they can't play?
I don't know.
Rozai Dowling can't play. They got all these guys that they don't. What if they don't want to play him?
Yeah,
well, then if they don't want to
play
him, I thought these roster spots were valuable. Get him off the roster.
I think most of the guys who can't play are in the secondary. If you're looking for a number on that question, I'd start with the amount of players on the roster.
No, but I did. I brought that up with Paul last week. It's like Arrington gets benched, and then you have injuries later in the game, and he stays on the bench, and Nate Ebner's on the field. And I know one's a safety, one's a corner, but you know, at the end of the game, I'd like to have my four best guys on the field or five best guys. You know. Why are these guys not playing? Why is Dowling not playing? Why is Sterling Moore not playing? Is it all injuries? Do we not even know about Dowling's injury? And is he hurt again?
Yeah, I think those are all very legitimate questions. With Vereen specifically, I was talking about maybe because of all the time he's missed, you know, and his ability to sort of perform in these, you know, the hurry up and stuff like that, that maybe he hasn't had as much experience in as Woodhead. That's kind of what I was talking about.
How do you get experience,
there.
Paul?
You got to play. And
thank you.
Listen, he was part of it in
and I know it's
in the
Jets
game.
Week, but the Jets aren't very good. It's not like this is, you know, the best team in football and you can't put him out there in this huge game.
Yeah, he was part of it in the Denver game too. He was, you know, he was the guy up. Bill said, well, he was in the game. You know, at the end, that's why he got the touchdown run in that game, even though he only had two carries.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I in one hand I agree with Andy. I think that at some point you got to figure out what you have in this guy.
As they would say about Larry Johnson, take the diapers off.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that didn't really go well for Dick Vermeil, but
went well for Larry Johnson.
Worked out all right for Larry Johnson.
Andy, you touched on some questions in the secondary, and I do want to get to those a little later on, but let's hit the phones here. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline, and it's where our buddy Jeff dials us up from Vegas. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Tremendous, Jeff. And how are you?
Good. Hi. How are you?
What do you got?
Not too much. Got New England, been rock solid all week as 10.5-point favorites, total 47. Quick question for you guys. How are the skill players doing as far as the Welker tight ends being banged up and Brandon Lloyd?
I think Welker's fine. I think Lloyd should be fine. I would have my concerns about the tight ends.
I agree.
Yes, and I saw that Eric Scalavino just tweeted out that Tim Tebow is warming up. Might get a few plays today.
Yeah, great. That's good for you if you want the win with the Patriots.
Although it means the Patriots have to score all the points if you want the over.
That's true. That's true. If you take the over, you're not going to get any help from Tebow.
Yeah, definitely. One thing unique about Tebow, though, he doesn't turn the ball over because he just throws it into the ground. He never throws it.
Well, he's not actually trying to throw it into the ground, but I get your point.
Yeah, it makes it tough for the other team as well. So, let's get right to the Jeff in Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Guys, this
Jeff,
is
Jeff, Jeff.
Any given Sunday, Rex Ryan has beaten Belichick 3 times, I believe. I believe he's 3-4.
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Wow. Are you doing it?
I'm not. I just want to relax today. So what I'm going to do, I don't know if you guys know what basis points are. Like a half of a unit is 50 basis points. A quarter of a unit is 25 basis points. Fair enough?
Sure.
I'm putting 38 basis points, slightly over a third of the unit, on the Jets' money line at plus 475. That's virtually 5-1, okay? I'm just going to relax. I want to have the New England win easily. I'm leaning towards over the 47, but I don't care. I just want the win today. Worst-case scenario, disaster. At least I get 5-1 on, you know, 40% of the unit. Got it?
Couldn't you just relax by not betting on the game?
No, that's not an option. I'm just going to the total. I'm leaning over on the total, but I don't have a strong feeling.
Take the over. I'm with you, bro.
I know it's windy.
It's not a horrific wind. It's probably like 10 to 15 miles an hour. I was just thinking more of Sanchez throwing the ball up deep. That might cause some issues for him, as I don't think he's the greatest deep ball thrower in the game anyway. But I would take the over. I'm confident in the over. Take it. Go with it.
Yeah, all right. Let's go over and a little nibble. Jet money line plus 475. Lock it in.
All right, 38 tenths of a point. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. You think over as well, 47 points.
Can you guys tell me what he was picking?
I don't know.
Okay. I got to be honest. My
he
head
took
was,
the Jets on tried, a third of a unit.
My head was spinning a little bit once we got to the
subunits
and the tiny units.
Don't I need to know how much money he put on
units.
It?
What's the spread?
10.
And he
point
liked the Patriots with
five.
The spread?
No, he didn't. He took
three
the Jets'
quarters
money
of his
line.
Unit was somewhere else.
Yeah.
Who knows?
He had a Lorena Bobbitt issue.
Now,
my unit.
Looking at the emails here to Web Radio at Patriots.
Hightower warming up, by the way. Got multiple reports on Twitter, and he is, quote, moving very well as he simulates run stuffing, dropping into pass coverage.
You expect him to be out there? We're, what, 10 minutes away from inactive here?
I told you 3 weeks ago I expected him out there.
Also true. Also
what
true.
Would you care what Indy and I think of Dante Hightower's availability?
Well,
because we couldn't be more
wrong. I can
pull
a Tengue. What are your sources telling you here, guys? What are your sources telling you on Steve Gregory and Dante Hightower and all these other guys?
I expect him out there.
I think
he
plays.
A game where the Jets might want to run the ball, you know, but... And I thought he was going to play last week, so I don't, you know, certainly the circumstantial evidence isn't good when they activate Tarpinian from the practice squad and get rid of Tennant. You would think, oh, they need some extra linebackers, but I don't know, maybe they feel like they've been skating with Tracy White not being out there, and he's more of a Tracy White fill-in as a special teamer.
That was my first thought last night when I saw that transaction was, can't be good for Hightower, but, you know, as Andy said, the people that are watching up in the press box seem to indicate that he's moving around pretty well. I don't know. I think he'll play, but I don't know. I mean, we haven't had this one right yet.
Since you brought up that transaction yesterday, activating Tarpinian from the practice squad, sending that tenant packing again, which they've already done.
Lou wasn't happy.
What does that tell you about the status of the offensive line, if anything?
Nothing. I think the status of the offensive line is fine. I mean, you know kind of what you're dealing with. You have a banged-up Logan Mankins, who's probably going to be banged up all year in various injuries. I know there was a good story in the Boston Globe with Shalice Manza-Young writing about his toughness and kind of talking to Will Fork and Brady about it. But, yeah, I mean, you are what you are right now. To me, they're actually kind of rounding into shape. You know, I thought they did a pretty good job last week against Irvin and Clemens in Seattle against that pass rush for the most part. And I think you're seeing the improvement in Nate Solder that you probably hoped you'd see over the course of a season when we were all, you know, the sky is falling early in the year. And Dante Scarnecchia was like, yeah, and the sky was falling when Matt Light first started playing, too. It takes a while for all these guys. Well, I think you're kind of seeing that a little bit. And Vollmer, when healthy, is proving himself a capable right tackle. So I think the line is kind of what you wanted it to be with the cast you have. You'd rather have Waters out there, whatever, but for what you have, I think it's rounded into form.
Yeah, I don't look at the move yesterday as being all that significant in terms of the offensive line. Like we had mentioned, for the linebacker, it might be.
Right.
You know,
maybe
term,
for Hightower,
they have,
certainly
they
for
have
special
some depth
teams.
Issues there, yep. Too. I mean, like Andy brings up Tracy White. I mean, we think of Tracy White strictly as a special teams player. Clearly, Bill Belichick does not, because
he started him in a Super Bowl.
He's he's continued to do that, though, Andy. When Hightower went down, it was Tracy White who went in.
Big
the
games.
Following week.
Whenever it's a Super Bowl or you play Peyton Manning, I start Tracy White. That's how it works right here.
The following week, when we all thought that Hightower would be back, and if not, then you signed Bobby Carpenter. It wasn't Carpenter that was out there on defense. It was Tracy White again. Now, Tracy White is clearly out with that foot problem. So I think, like Andy, you used the word, you know, kind of they've been skating the last couple of weeks with some sketchy linebacker depth. I think Tarpinian's signing means more than Tennant's release.
And Tennant was just number 53 on the roster.
Yeah. Pretty much. Just in case you're...
without attitude.
Just in case you're looking for the inactives here, we're about an hour away, actually, from the inactives being announced. However, already three Patriots have been ruled out. Steve Gregory with a hip injury. Tracy White, as we just mentioned, with a foot injury. And Brandon Bolden, injured last week in Seattle, out with a knee injury. We'll get you up to speed on the rest of the inactives coming up here in about 60 minutes. Bill Berry writes in to webradio at patriots.com. Guys, if the Jets get 10 points, something is extremely wrong with the Patriots' defense. Do you agree?
No.
No.
Why? I don't really
no,
get the point.
No offense is so inept that you cannot expect, you can say it's a disaster if it scores 10 points.
Especially against a bad defense. I mean.
Now, I'll go with
you.
And
you don't even know how they come. I mean, well, there's plenty of circumstances that could come about. Punt returns, kick returns, turnovers, short fields, all that.
But I don't care if they go 80 yards, you know, twice and end up with 10 points. That's not saying I give up, this defense is gone. But, you know, maybe 24 points on drives, not on the special kind of plays that Andy talked about. Okay. This is an offense that really is not very good. But, you know, one out of five drives.
But it's a defense that's not very good.
You know,
it's
but,
a fair
you know,
fight out there.
One out of five drives, they can't be expected to put something together. I mean, I think it's a little bit much to say they have to shut them out.
Well, and I guess my feeling after that Seattle game was, you know, we've seen the Patriots defense give up game-winning drives or at least comeback drives in fourth quarters that kind of put you on the edge of your seat before. I don't know that we had really seen it against a quarterback like Russell Wilson. Like, we had seen Eli Manning do it, or we had seen quarterbacks like Ben Roethlisberger just tear you apart right from the get-go.
Correct.
I don't know if we had seen Russell Wilson, that caliber of quarterback, do it. So, look, I don't know if point totals would bother me per se, but if we see Mark Sanchez pulling something similar to Russell Wilson even in defeat, I think you still have Patriots fans getting more and more nervous about that secondary. And I do want to circle back to something that we hit on earlier.
Let me just say this.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're in a one-score game with 3 minutes left and the other team has the ball, I don't care how many points the other team has, there won't be a lot of people feeling very comfortable. You know, I don't care if it's 10-9 and you've shut them down all day, or if it's, you know, 28-27. I don't think there'll be too many people that will be feeling really, really good about the other team having the ball with a chance to win.
Circling back to that other question in the secondary for the Patriots, Pat Chung, you know, has been dinged up, wasn't in at the end of that game last week against Seattle. We know Gregory's out. Last week, the combination at the end of the game when Sidney Rice beats the Patriots defense at safety was Tavon Wilson and Nate Ebner. What do we expect the Patriots to do back there as a contingency plan to Pat Chung if he can't go wire to wire, or if he gets knocked out in similar fashion?
Well, I have to think it's not Nate Ebner. I just can't find a way to believe that Nate Ebner is going to play, you know, three quarters of football. I just would be stunned. And if that's Sterling Moore, who has some position flexibility, who gets thrown out there, if it's Matthew Slater, who is more experienced as a safety by far than Nate Ebner, I just can't find myself believing it's going to be Nate Ebner.
What about McCourty?
Sure, and then you got to play somebody at corner. You know, everybody seems to be on that McCourty to safety bandwagon. Well, Bill doesn't seem to want to play his corners at corners right now. Dowling and Arrington, as of last week, he didn't want to play, correct? In the fourth quarter.
And Sterling Moore the week before that.
Sterling Moore. Correct. So, well, who's, you know, Dennard. Everybody's madly in love with Dennard now, which is fine. He's played good for a couple weeks.
I'm guilty.
Yeah,
of
Paul
that.
Paul
mm-hmm.
wants,
I'm guilty
you know,
of that, Andy.
He's mm-hmm. got the bust in the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon.
Andy nailed me on
but,
that.
Braylon Edwards likes him, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, you have to play corners. Just moving McCourty to safety is not some magic. And I don't actually love it as much as I'd just put Moore back there or one of these other guys. Or Dowling, I know he hasn't really played safety, so that, but I don't think he can play corners, so
that's
make him a safety.
I was just going to ask that. What would you think about, since he's been playing more of a linebacker role in that dime defense, what would you think about Dowling in more of a safety role since the Patriots don't use him as a corner?
I'll say this about Rashai Dowling. I have no idea if he can play. I don't understand why he doesn't play based on the play of the secondary, you know, as a whole. I have
not
seen
him. 2 weeks in a row,
they've
had a corner benched.
You know, he started off last season as the starter. He got hurt, ended up missing the large majority of the season. Started off this summer as the starter and started off the first week as the nickelback, ostensibly. He was the first guy. I don't think that he has done anything to say, like, I can't believe that he's not playing. But at the same time, I don't think he's done anything to say, I can't believe you would ever put that guy on the field. I have had a lot of moments like that with pretty much every other guy. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem to me that he's gotten extended opportunities. Maybe they don't think he's tough enough. Maybe they don't think that he is ever going to be the guy they drafted. I don't know what the reason is.
That's not good.
But it seems to me that he's never really had an opportunity. Andy and I talked about this on PFW in progress.
Why do they hate Rozai Dowling?
And again, I'm not telling you that's going to, you know, fix all that ails you. But
big.
You know, like the Jets will today. The Jets are going to be the elixir.
All right, we'll continue with your feedback. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can weigh in there. Also, send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. We've been talking a lot from the New England perspective. We'll get the view from the other side coming up next. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots pregame social.
You like that song, huh, Andy?
Yeah. It's also unfortunate that Dante Hightower's had a lot of time to listen to our show since he doesn't play.
I was going to say, he will. We'll know the status of Dante Hightower coming up here in a little less than an hour on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We'll get back into your feedback, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue to take your thoughts on this game. Patriots and Jets kickoff at 425 Eastern here at Gillette Stadium. We've given a lot of our thoughts from the Patriots' point of view. Time now to get the view from the other side.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
To do that, we welcome in Rich Cimini, ESPNNewYork.com, here on Patriots.com, leading up to Patriots and Jets. And Rich, one of the things we've been discussing here on the pregame show is this issue with the Jets wanting to get their substitutions in, slowing the Patriots down leading up to this matchup. Do you view it as gamesmanship or something else from New York?
I think it's total gamesmanship by the Jets. They're walking into some dangerous territory. I don't think you want to anger the Patriots and Bill Belichick any more than they are. It's clearly all week the players have been talking about it. Calvin Pace called it borderline illegal, and the Jets have been very vocal about they talked to the league about it. Rex Ryan on Friday was going on and on about it, about how they just have to watch that they're allowed to substitute. But to me, it's total gamesmanship. If I were the Patriots, I would, just for spite, I would stay in the same package the entire game and just run the ball on the Jets, and that would probably be successful.
Yeah, Rich, you and I both know that when you poke the bear, sometimes you get growled at and get beat up on, and Bill has run the score up on a lot of people. Be interesting to see if we see that today. But, you know, with this defense, I think people wonder if they could run the score up on anyone, and part of that is giving up the big plays. Are the Jets right now with Stephen Hill and Jeremy Curley and Mark Sanchez able to get the ball down the field and beat this Patriots secondary that is so questionable?
They can. They have the ability to do it maybe once or twice a game. I just don't think they have the consistency. They're not there yet without Santonio Holmes. That's a big loss for them. And I don't think they have the ability to consistently exploit the Patriots secondary downfield. I'm sure they'll take a couple of three shots, try to do it, even if they get a flag. I know the Patriots have had some issues with pass interference. So they will take a shot. Stephen Hill is a vertical receiver. I could see them doing that even maybe very early in the game to try to keep the Patriots honest. But to do it consistently, that's just not their style. They're going to run the ball. They're going to try to protect Mark Sanchez as much as possible.
The Stephen Hill acquisition, Rich, I wanted to ask you about a little bit because he's a guy that you know, he has obvious physical skills. I know he was kind of slowed by some injuries early on here, but he has some touchdown catches. What has his impact been like? I know a lot of people thought he was a raw guy who didn't have a lot of sophistication with his offense, obviously running the triple option at Georgia Tech, but how has his development been for the Jets?
It's been sporadic because, you know, in the week one, he comes out against the Bills and just has a phenomenal game. I mean, scored a couple of touchdowns, and everyone was like, wow, this is going to be, you know, every week. And then he just basically disappeared for a couple of weeks. He went through two games where he was targeted, I think, a total of 9 times and didn't catch anything. And then he got hurt for a couple of weeks. And then last week he had a good game with the touchdown catch against the Colts. So it's been hit or miss. He is a raw player. He has a lot to learn about getting off the line of scrimmage. If the Patriots are aggressive with him at the line, you know, I don't know if that's their style, the Patriots, but if they play that way with him, they could probably take him out of his game.
Jumping over to the other side of the football, for the Patriots, it's been Wes Welker and company the last 4 weeks, 400-yard games. He's got 40 catches in the last four. You know, what are the Jets going to do to try to shut him down today? Obviously, it's not a great matchup for Cromartie, so does it fall to Wilson, or is it, you know, a lot of zone and bracket? How will they handle Wes Welker today?
This is where the Revis factor really comes in for the Jets. They've actually done well. I don't say they've done well, but I think they've compensated okay for not having Revis the last few weeks. But they haven't faced a team that has multiple weapons. So now they do. Now they have Welker. In the past, they could put Revis on Welker and follow him around. You're right, Cromartie, that's just not his. I'd be really surprised if Cromartie was on him. That's just not his skill set. He struggles against the smaller, quicker guys. So I think it'll be a lot of Kyle Wilson. That's especially with Welker's in the slot, which is most of the time. And then you're going to see a lot of, you know, they'll try to change it up because I don't think Wilson is good enough to stay on Welker the entire game. That could get ugly. I think they'll try to change it up with some bracket stuff and some different zones. It'll be like a, as Rex says, he calls it like a, you know, a platter, a smorgasbord platter of stuff.
As a guy that sees Wilson, follow up here on Wilson, he's a guy that, you know, came right after McCourtie, and a lot of Patriots fans would like to give McCourtie back. And it seemed like in that draft, the choice was between McCourtie and Wilson. What is your view of him, having seen him the last couple of years develop or fail to develop?
Wilson, I mean, he's they picked the Jets. Well, we'll never know what they really thought because the Patriots picked McCourtie right before the Jets had a chance to make their choice between the two. Now the Jets insist that Wilson was their guy. I think I believe them because Wilson's more of a man-to-man player, and the Jets play a lot of man-to-man. He doesn't have great catch-up speed. Wilson does. He's aggressive at the line, but he doesn't turn and run very well. He struggles at times when the ball is in the air. His ball awareness needs to improve, and he has improved overall as a player the last couple of years. But I don't think he's where they thought he'd be.
How are the Jets allowing so many yards rushing, Rich? It seems like there's some personnel there. I know the linebackers are aging, but 150 yards just seems like a very high total.
Yeah, that's one of the big questions. I think we knew the offense would struggle going into this year, but when the defense was struggling so much, I think it really was, especially the front seven against the run, that really had a lot of people scratching their head. You know, Sione Boha, their nose tackle, hasn't been the same player this year. He's been dealing with a back issue. You know, he's not going to play today. Even when he was playing, he wasn't the same. So that was a big loss for them. And otherwise, you're right. There's some age in the linebackers, but I just there's more to it than that. I don't know. There's schematically, they were faced some teams that just exploited them, like the 49ers did a terrific job of running the plays that the Jets hadn't seen before. So I think it's a combination of injuries and age and just really good schemes from the other team.
Now, they are a little bit younger up front. Muhammad Wilkerson last year, Copels this year. How have those guys been playing?
Wilkerson had his best game maybe ever last week. He really gave a dominant performance. Before that, he was so-so. Copels, too, last week, it was his best performance. And I think fans expected Copels to come in and be like Chandler Jones and be a big sack guy and an edge rusher, but that's not really the role he's being used. He's more of an inside pass rusher, and he's not, until last week, he really hadn't producing as much as they had hoped.
As much as I'm sure you'd love to get through an interview without talking about the personal protector on the punt team, what do we expect? The most famous personal protector on the planet. What do we expect from Tebow today? All this talk about he could get more carries as a running back with the injuries they have. You know, are they going to unleash some great Tebow package for the division rival Patriots? What do you expect today?
Well, that's another gamesmanship. the idea that he was going to be a running back. I really do not expect him to get handoffs from Mark Sanchez today as a traditional running back. Now, could he carry the ball a few more times as a quarterback out of the shotgun? Yeah, I could definitely see that. He's only thrown one or two passes on offense. I could see, something there. I think the Jets realize that they have to pull a few rabbits out of their hat today to try to beat a team like the Patriots. So I definitely would see something like that, but I would really be shocked if he's lined up as a true running back and actually getting the football. That, based on what I was told this week in practice, he wasn't even taking reps that way in practice.
Now, if Sanchez handed him the ball, would he also trip him and push him down while doing it?
Yeah, well, they have a good relationship. I mean, it's the whole thing is a weird dynamic, but the two of those guys actually get along okay. It's the other stuff. And actually, you mentioned jokingly about the personal protecting. The Jets have been successful on 3 fake punts so far. So that is definitely something, the Patriots still be aware of. So if the Jets were able to pull off another one today, I'd be kind of shocked.
Any chance the Jets pull off an upset?
I don't think so. I really think this is going to be, the Patriots will win by a couple of touchdowns. But, if the Jets play a clean game, if they don't turn it over. Last week was the first time in 17 games that they didn't have a turnover. So if they can do it again, and if they can run the ball fairly effectively, they're not, obviously not going to rush it for 250 like they did last week, but if they were able to rush it for 125 or so and play clean with the turnovers, then I think they'd have a really good chance to win. But I don't see those. There's too many bad matchups in this game. And we've covered them all so far, that I don't think the Jets could overcome that.
All right, we'll leave it there. He's Rich Cimini, ESPNNewYork.com, joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Rich, thanks so much for taking the time.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rich.
All right, that's our view from the other side. And guys,
your former coworker.
Honestly, guys, yeah, another
in the family,
another ESPN employee,
another out of town writer who gives his team absolutely no chance.
I was just going to say the view.
But three of them have been wrong this year.
The view from the other side sounds pretty similar to how we've been when forecasting this.
Kyle thing Wilson, I love. He doesn't react to the ball. He doesn't have great catch up speed. Were you talking about McCourty or Wilson? Did you mix them up?
I lost which one you were talking about there. Sorry about
that.
So
they were damned if they do or damned if they didn't in that draft.
It's amazing the fights that could go on between Patriots and Jets fans saying about, we got the corner. The only thing is they're arguing about who got the worst one.
It's like back in the day, Nomar and Jeter.
Yeah.
Our corner's worse. Yeah. McCourty's worse.
Paul, you touched on the Jets secondary earlier, and while we're here with Wilson, the way Cromartie's played, he seems to have stepped up at least temporarily in the absence of Darrell Revis. We've seen the Patriots exploit him in the past. How do you attack that Jets secondary today?
Well, I think that you have to be careful around Cromartie. And here, I have observationally with Cromartie, he's one of those guys to me. I mean, physically, he has a lot of skills. We can see them. But I think that he's one of those guys that, he has motivation issues. And when he's plugged in, he's a pretty good player. And I think that he looks at Revis' absence as being, everybody thinks that he's the guy, and I can do that. And I think that he sort of, now, he doesn't have the ability that Revis does. I don't think that he's on that level. But at short periods of time, and we saw it, say, like in the second half of the game at the Meadowlands a couple of years ago when Revis went down with a hamstring problem, and he just completely shut down the Patriots passing game in the second half. That was Cromartie. I think that he's a guy that Brady needs to be fearful of. I think, like Rich said, Andy has said this during the week, you're going to see him on Brandon Lloyd. I don't think they're going to put him on Welker. I think that's a crazy matchup for such a big guy trying to cover a small little guy in the slot and all that space. But if you want to throw all those back shoulder fades that you've been throwing, that you sort of rely on the receiver, not necessarily to get separation, I think that Antonio Cromartie is a dangerous guy to throw those kinds of passes against. And I would expect Brady to sort of proceed with caution against him.
I would just ignore Lloyd all day.
I would
don't
too.
Need him to win. I'll take my chances in the middle of the field with Welker, with Gronkowski, with Hernandez. I think the Patriots could own the middle of the field in this game.
Well, and with Welker, following up on the Revis thing, we've seen Revis come down on Welker quite a bit and cover him in the slot. So who does that responsibility fall to in the Jets secondary?
Well, it sounds like, according to Rich, that it's going to be Wilson. And it sounds like, according to Rich, that Wilson's not good enough to do it.
They're going to need
so
to
it sounds like, according to Rich, Welker could have another 10-catch, 100-yard day.
Hey, you're going to need to give him some help for sure because he's not capable of doing
right.
it by himself.
Right. Big Landry. Well, a big hit from Landry, though, with the way Wes has been feeling so right about in here. And
those
his whole
guys
chest
have been
area.
Decent, too. Those two safeties have been decent for them. Not stars, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do anything on Welker, though. Well, I mean, that's a little bit different.
Landry should be decent. He was, what, the sixth pick in the draft? Mm-hmm. If I'm going to hold the quarterback to that standard, I'll hold the safety to the same standard. Top 10 pick. You're supposed to be good.
Work our way through some of this feedback here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo here on Patriots.com. Brandon writes into web radio at Patriots.com. Guys,
Merriweather?
little over-under. Could be Brandon Merriweather. Haven't heard much from him since he got injured in pregame warmups. working our way through some of these over-unders here, which I know you guys enjoy.
Love them.
In the Big Bang Clock.
Brady passing yards in this one, 310.
Over.
Under.
Ooh.
Why under, Paul?
Because they're going to run a lot.
Run it.
I probably should have thought about that before I get over.
Before you made fun of me.
Patriots total rushing yards in an interesting follow-up, 140 over-under.
Over.
Both of you say over.
So I got the Patriots putting up 500 yards total offense.
Which is not out of the realm. That's not out of the realm.
What was it, 475 on Seattle last week?
And they're going to go hurry up, and the other team's bitching about
very
doable. Yeah, I'm comfortable. 300,
well,
200.
Until they make a point of slowing it down at the end.
Right,
in the four-touchdown game that
but
we all
but if you slow it down and throw an 80-yard touchdown, that's still a lot of yards.
Number of times Brady's sacked, 1.5.
Under.
Over.
Ooh, he's negative.
Brandon Lloyd catches. We just talked about that matchup
under.
With Antonio Cromartie. 6.5.
Oh, under.
Under.
Okay.
Well, first of all, to get him 6.5 catches, you have to throw him 13 balls. So.
Negative.
Are we counting the ones that are, we counting the ones that are out of bounds or just the inbound ones?
That's how many times Brady threw to him to get him like 20. He's a 2-to-1 ratio. Two throws equals one catch.
Tight end catches.
Boom.
Tight end catches. 12.5 over under.
Over.
Over.
That's just the Patriots or both teams?
Well, no. That's just the Patriots.
Tight ends.
While we're on
tight
it, though,
ends Patriots,
while
know.
We're on it, you touched
you know,
on.
Daniel Fells could get 2 or 3.
While we're on it, you touched on, and I think it actually was you, Andy, touched on that the health of the tight ends and how you would be a little skeptical about that, but you're both saying over on the catches.
See.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hernandez had his 6 catches last
week.
He only got 30 yards out of it. That's the problem.
They had 12 last week.
You know, it's maximizing
the plays.
You'd
be more concerned about after the catch and things of that
you're
nature.
You're not going to get 200-yard games out of your 12 catches. You're going to get 260-yard, 70-yard games.
All right, two more here. Number of turnovers by the Jets, over under 2.5.
Over.
Number of turnovers by the Jets, 2.5. I'll say under.
So I felt like Russell Wilson was going to have a billion turnovers last week. That certainly wasn't the case.
He only had two, right?
So I think they make up for it with over the 2.5 here.
Me too. Strip sack for Chandler coming off the edge.
Number of Tim Tebow offensive snaps. 11.5.
Under.
I'm going to say over.
So
I think Rex is going to do something different.
I think this is the game where you break it out, if you ever break it out.
Sweet. Patriots win. If they break out Tim Tebow, Patriots win.
And he concludes, love the show, guys. Personally want Andy and Paul to get more money so they can be on the post-game show. Nothing is wrong with you, Adam. But it would be nice to get multiple opinions on how the game played out.
Other than the fact that you don't turn your mic on when introducing a guest, nothing is wrong with you.
Just you know, so as not, you know. Not to sound like we're spoiled little brats, it's not really a money issue, although we could gladly accept more. Andy
first of all,
I.
I'm not poo-pooing anything that says me getting more money.
Right.
So you
but
speak for you.
We just have
you
other,
alone.
We just have other things that we have to do. We need someone to
damn paper.
Handle
gotta put
the
together
paper.
A paper.
Paper.
That's all.
I got to go get the papers. Papers.
Your boy Al, Andy, writes in to Web
Al
Radio.
Fatto
at Patriots.com. Guys, it's Al from Italy.
Hey, Fatty.
I'm so down that I'm not going to take any shot at Andy. Question.
Oops.
Is it possible to pressure the quarterback more so the secondary can get some help?
Yes.
Looks like the play that has to go for more than 5 seconds, it's a 40-yard bomb. Do you think the Jets will throw more because of our awful secondary?
Yes, I think the Jets will throw more. And yes, I think the front could do a better job pressuring the quarterback. It'd be interesting to see, because I know a lot of people want to put a little more pressure in terms of blitzes, sending a fifth rusher. Hightower is a guy that I think could be used in that role and was actually injured rushing around that left end. That's how he pulled the hamstring, although I don't think he was the fifth rusher, because in that game in particular, I believe Chandler Jones actually dropped into coverage. But I think Hightower is a guy that could add some spark to that pass rush in one way or another if he can get healthy again.
Yeah, I just was looking at some of the Jets guys. Looking at Joe McKnight on the field, be shocked if he plays
right.
Based on some of the evaluations. on Twitter. So that's a big thing, because Andy kind of broke down a few different ways where the Jets might be able to stay competitive, and one of them was in special teams, kick returns. McKnight's been a dangerous kick returner for as sort of disappointing as his overall package has been. Sorry, Andy. You know, for his game,
I don't know anything about his package. His play stinks. I don't know about his package.
You know, he has given them a lift as a kick returner, and he doesn't look like he'll be able to do that.
He wants his package to get a lift.
Speaking of the lift.
You know, we were touching on this secondary.
A bit of a stiff.
We're touching
Eric now, by the way, openly tweeting that he doesn't think Mankins is going to be active today.
Why?
I don't know. He says I wouldn't be surprised if he was inactive. I don't know if he has any information that he's not sharing with us, but
doesn't that seem weird that they would cut Tenet and then Mankins would be inactive? Or is there no tie-in? I mean, I know I asked about that earlier, but that
I know
that
you can never say never. This would go into a shock category. He talked to everybody on Friday. I would be very surprised.
Me too.
We were touching on the secondary. I want to get your guys' thoughts on this, because I've heard this a few different places, television, the radio,
newspaper,
talking about I don't really read those, but I'm sure it's in there as well. Talking about this Patriots front seven, and I've heard a number of people say, "Oh, I'd put this front seven up against anyone's in the NFL," which to me seems a little overreactionary. I think it's been better, certainly, than what we saw last year. How do you feel about the play of the front seven through six games?
I think against the run, they've been very good, borderline elite. I think they're sixth in the league in run defense. I think that's probably where they should be in terms of stopping the run, in terms of you rating them. The pass rush, I think, can be better. I just don't think they've gotten there often enough. They've had some impact rushes. They've had forced fumbles. But to me, they're not that relentless. Every play, the other team seems to be like on their toes dealing with the pass rush. It sort of comes in spurts and in waves, and that can be better.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it with the pass rush, because I know that sacks aren't necessarily the be-all, end-all. I wouldn't have much of a problem.
It's about the package, not the sack.
I wouldn't have much of a problem. You see, even Adam now is, like, shaking his head.
I have my antenna up for just about any kind of innocuous comment. I'm ready for him.
The difference is that everybody hears it, and they say to themselves, oh, yeah, you could make a childish joke about it, but he will not let one of those ever go.
Honestly,
he has to say it.
I was working with another radio host a couple of days ago, and they said something got their juices flowing, and I kind of looked around the studio. I was like, did anybody else hear that? No one.
But here's the thing, Adam. I'm guaranteeing that everybody heard it.
I was like, this is where I need
it. Was that on real
radio?
I'll
guarantee you
that
everybody.
ESPN?
It was.
You're not allowed to even, like,
everybody
think that
you were
acknowledge
with
it
definitely heard it, and inside.
I'm going to be called into
the inside
boss's
their head chuckled
about
to themselves.
That, yeah.
But Andy has to say it every time. He can't even let one slip.
Part of my charm.
On the inconsistent part of the pass rush or the inconsistent.
Well, I don't really have a problem with, like, say, the amount of times. Chandler Jones has 5.5 sacks, I think, something like that. I mean, I don't have any problem with the amount of times that they actually get there. It's just that if they don't get there, they're nowhere near the quarterback.
And this is,
I mean, I could count on one hand the amount of times that they've made quarterbacks throw the ball before they want.
And maybe this is part of being young, or maybe this is just, you know, it stands out more when he actually gets to the quarterback, but it seems like specifically the play of Chandler Jones is a microcosm of that. Like, I feel like every game you look and there is a drive where it's a three and out and he blows up a run, gets a sack, pressures the quarterback on the next play. It seems like something like that every single game. And then maybe it's two or three series where
you don't really notice him as much. That's part of being a rookie too. And, you know, I made a comment on our TV show that we do, Andy and I, on Comcast. You know, you got to give him some help. Ninkovich has come on a little bit the last few weeks. He's made some impact plays, but you can't just rely on these guys to do it all the time. You need some help. And, you know, Andy makes comments all the time about how who's, you know, really well suited to blitz on this team. Like, what, you know, who would you like to send on blitzes? Who has demonstrated the ability to get there? Now, maybe Hightower could be one of those guys if you can get him on the field healthy and ready to go. But, you know, Spikes and Mayo really haven't been great in that regard. They've brought in some other guys. You know, they've tried some wrinkles with Arrington, you know, and people like that. I'm not sure that's the way to go, but they need to find a way to get more consistent pressure on the passer, because you got to do something to protect the secondary.
It's Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo here on Patriots.com. Time now for our Bose headphone giveaway. The eighth
Bose
caller to the contest line, 508-298-0398. Again, the contest line, 508-298-0398, wins a pair of Bose SIE2 Sport headphones. To push your workout to the limit, you need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering a claim Bose sound, sweat and weather resistance, and a comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok fitness armband. You demand more from your workout. Shouldn't you demand more from your headphones as well? Bose, game-changing sound. Coming up on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, inactives are right around the corner, and we'll get them for you next here on Patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football.
and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Second hour of the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Taking you up to Pat's Jets, 4:25 kickoff, and the inactives are out. You already knew Steve Gregory, Tracy White, and Brandon Bolden. Two big ones have also been ruled out by the Patriots. Logan Mankins with a calf and hip injury. Pat Chung with a shoulder injury that sidelined him at the end of that loss to Seattle. Also Ron Brace and Jake Beckett have been ruled out. So aside from just Mankins and Chung being active, it also means Edelman back in the mix. Same thing with Dante Hightower. So inactive takeaways here, guys, as we're reacting to the Patriots ruling out their seven guys today.
I'm fairly surprised about Mankins. Obviously, Eric is not, and be curious to see what gave him that feeling when we talk to him later. Chung, I am not overly surprised about. I feel like he's been a guy that's had some injury problems in the past, and he got knocked out of the game last week down the stretch in a one-score game. If they didn't feel like he was healthy enough to get back out there, I'm not surprised by that. The interesting question, though, Adam and Andy, is where they go, where they turn at safety, because I don't think you want to go wire-to-wire with Nate Ebner, and I don't expect to see that today.
All right, Andy, where do they turn?
I got to think it's – I mean, a lot of the speculation is McCourty, and I know the Globe is trumpeting themselves again about how they said the Patriots wanted to move him to safety earlier this year. They actually said he was moving to safety. They didn't say the Patriots wanted to, so they've sort of changed their tune on that six months later.
They being the Globe.
Yes, the Boston Globe. Reported he was going to safety, and he never went to safety until possibly now. So they're sort of changing their report here 5 months later. But aside from that...
It's like the media watching.
Well, I just...
No, he's right. He's right.
We have eyes. We have memories. You printed it. You know, it wasn't this flippant radio report. You wrote that he was going to safety, that he was going to be a safety. He hasn't played safety all summer and through the first six games of the season. He may go to safety now because, yes, your two starting safeties are injured, but that doesn't tell me that he's a safety. That tells me they're out of luck and they need a safety, and he may be the best option. You know, obviously we talked about Rozai Dowling has the size, and they're not willing to play him at corner. Maybe they're willing to play him at safety. Sterling Moore has some versatility. I think he would be an option. Matthew Slater started three games there a year ago. You know, I'm not just going to assume it's McCourty because I didn't report 6 months ago that they wanted to move him to safety like the Globe did, and they're trying to jump on that bandwagon. But he is certainly in the mix.
Yeah,
I don't think it'll be Nate Ebner.
I think he's a possibility, and I also think Sterling Moore is a possibility, as Andy mentioned. And I just don't think it will be Nate Ebner from wire to wire. I'm not saying he's not going to get defensive snaps.
He only plays with the game on the line.
But I'm not saying he's not going to get any defensive snaps. You know, you brought up Rozai Dowling earlier in the show.
But
I don't know, maybe he gets a shot.
On Ebner, should he? Like, should he get any defensive snaps?
Oh, maybe.
In my opinion, no.
He's been out there against Buffalo and gave up an awful touchdown.
Yeah, he's struggled a little bit, which isn't his fault. He doesn't play defense.
No, that's my point. He didn't play it in college. Now you got
no. But now you're asking two different things. Buffalo with a whatever it was 24-point lead. I have no problem with getting him his experience like that. Let him learn.
Not my point.
You want him to learn.
My point is when he's been out there, it's been a disaster.
He shouldn't get. Important defensive snaps
in
my
preseason.
In a blowout, no, not in the preseason. You're right.
It was not a disaster in the preseason.
No, but
so if I'm going to develop him, I want him to play sometimes. Right?
Yeah, I don't want him playing important snaps as a rookie.
No, I didn't say important snaps.
No.
I said I want him to play sometimes.
Okay.
In blowouts.
Yeah, he doesn't want him to play at all.
No. What I'm saying is
you didn't want to play at all.
If it's a blowout, that's a different situation. You know, that's when, you know, I don't want to see.
The only person on the planet who wanted to see him on the field last week was Bill Belichick.
I don't want to see Ryan Mallett play any snaps either, but if it's a blowout.
No, I'm
going to
guess Mr. Oh, don't say that, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm going to guess even his family, I'll just keep it plain, and him didn't really want to see himself out there because he knew there was a chance I don't play in these situations. I don't know how to react to these. And it wasn't his fault. He didn't give up the touchdown. Tavon Wilson did. I mean, that certainly wasn't in any – he was not a factor in that play. He was the backside safety. Irrelevant. But I just don't see how you play him significant reps this week. So, yes, I think it has to be one of those other guys.
Meaningful reps. And we'll get to your phone calls. 508-298-0398. Your emails to webradio at patriots.com. So the takeaway without Pat Chung.
I know you guys make fun of me every week because I generally watch the games when we play in the 4 o'clock games. I've been watching a lot of the Baltimore-Houston game. At some point, Cam Cameron needs to say, I can't do three-step drops against the Houston Texans because I don't have anybody that can block any of their defensive linemen. And right now, their defensive line has to have combined for 10 passes defensed in this game today.
That game's been bad.
Yeah, this has been a blowout from halfway through the first quarter. First vote, 10 minutes of the game, Baltimore controlled. Since they had that punt down inside the one, they haven't even been competitive.
It makes your loss against Baltimore look a little worse. Just going back to the inactives.
But this is also not the same team that you lost to.
The inactives.
In all fairness
on
to
the
Patriots
side.
And to Baltimore.
The guys being active. We sort of speculated on Hightower. I know you guys expected him to be out there, though this isn't the first week you expected that. But with Edelman... You know, what should we expect there in terms of Edelman versus Welker, how the snaps are divvied up, I guess? Because
they better
in the year,
not be divvied up.
Early in the year, we know what it was.
Because I would argue if you didn't have Wes Welker, you might not be 3-3 at this point.
Should I play the role of the Globe now and say, well, they wanted to have, this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to have Edelman out there. I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Who are you fighting the Globe with me?
You, yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, that's a joke.
Back. I'm trying to be a team player with you.
I just want to make sure, because sometimes it's hard to tell.
Sometimes, even if you don't agree with the fight, when your teammate gets in a fight, you got to back him up.
That's true.
But that's what I'm doing right now with Andy Hart. I got your back.
If you take Welker off the field, that needs an explanation. That's an embarrassment. He has been the heart of your offense for the last 4 weeks. He has, as I said, I think you could argue if he wasn't on this team, you'd be sub 500 right now, looking up at the rest of the AFC East potentially.
So I think we're all in agreement. We don't want to see Edelman back there getting snaps,
no, on punts I want to see him. You know, get some punts so Welker doesn't take any big hits on any of those. You know, getting your special teams coverage. Maybe he's an extra receiver. Maybe you say, I'm going to take Brandon Lloyd off the field and try to get a matchup problem with either Welker or Edelman, a smaller, quicker receiver, on Cromartie. I'm okay, kind of doing something like that. But anything that involves. Oh, I'm going to bump him above Welker on the depth chart. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah,
it's terrible.
And I don't think anybody expects it. Just pointing out the fact that he's out there, or at least active, is at least worth watching. Let's get to some of these phone calls. 508-298-0398. We welcome in a member of our Patriots fan club.
You got to fight for your right to party.
Got a good tailgate?
Oh, man, they're playing one hell of a party.
Think you're the loudest group at Gillette?
Woo-wee!
It's time we find out as we hear from our fan club of the week.
To do that, we welcome in Rafael of the Puerto Rico Patriots fan club joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Rafael, how do you feel about this Pats-Jets matchup?
Well, thanks. Thank you for the opportunity, and it's great. And I'd like to say hi to all the Patriot Nation, not only in the U.S., but around the world. We've heard from some people from England, Argentina, so that means the Patriot Nation has no border. And we're ready here in Puerto Rico to get ready for some football.
Que bueno.
Yeah, you got it.
And how exactly do we do that? How do we get ready for football? What do you guys do, Rafael?
Well, I think the team has regrouped, the experiences we've had in the past few games, and, there were some tough calls, and they worked on it, and, we have the confidence in Bill Belichick and our coaching staff and our players, and, even though we had the injury, at a little bit, but, we can work on it. We can work on it, and I think the Patriots have proved it, not only this year, but for the past 10 years and every season, it's the little team that could.
Two questions. How many members are there in your little Puerto Rican fan club? And
what?
How many members do you have?
Well, first of all, we have like 30-something on the roster, but right now we're here in Shannon Sire's spot here in Guaynabo, Puerto Rico, and there's over 50 people. We've got New England Patriots jerseys or the throwback shirts and everything. We're having a great time, and especially the Jets fans and the Miami fans, even though I don't know why they showed up today. They have a bye week, the Miami fans, but there's over 50 people here.
Nice. And what is on the tailgate menu in Puerto Rico today?
Well, like I wrote on the we were having a very Puerto Rican menu. We had I had roast beef with mashed potatoes and Texas toast. But it's funny.
Okay, so
that's how I pictured it. That's how I pictured it. Yeah. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Puerto Rican flavor to it. Are you gonna be excited for this game, or do you have some trepidation? Because I know
we're very excited. We know what this means. You know, the AFC is all east, it's all tied up, and besides being the Jets, and everything's on the line here. I think the New England Patriots will, you know, step up and do what they're expected to by the fans and by themselves. You know, and after we beat the Jets, we climb on top of the AFC East and go all the way.
Woo!
All right, well, Raphael, we appreciate you dialing us up and tailgating this game. And if you have any pictures, you can send them in, webradiopatriots.com, or tweet them at us using the hashtag PPGS. Raphael.
They're already on the page.
All right, tremendous.
Beautiful.
Okay, don't yell at us.
Yeah. See ya. I send them before I call in, and, you know, that we're already on it.
Excellent. Well done, Raphael.
We're ready to go, and go Pats.
All right. Okay. Tell Donatello I said hello.
Dialing us up, Puerto Rico Pats fan club. You can hear Kevin like that one.
He's a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was one that Kevin enjoyed. Mashed potatoes and what was it?
Texas toast.
I pictured like some chorizo or something like that, you know?
I don't even know what Puerto Ricans eat.
I think chorizo. I think it's on the list.
that's all they eat, literally, every meal.
Sure. That was where I was going with that. That was a little disappointing. I expected something different on the pregame menu, but that's fine. Let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398. Melvin's in Tennessee, and you're next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Great.
Yeah.
Muy bueno.
Well,
Why do you sound so down?
Well, I watched this bloody awful Tennessee and Buffalo game. That's a start. And this is my second game of the year I'm able to see the Patriots without going to Buffalo Wild Wings or something like that. So just a little nervous for some odd reason.
Now, is that more to do? Are you more nervous now with the inactives out, with no Mankins, no Chung, no Gregory?
Yeah, because it's reminding me of last year. You know, when Chung went out, and then they just kind of like the Redskins game, and I just feel like hopefully it shouldn't be a shootout, because I don't think Mark Sanchez is capable of doing any shootouts. But it's just I don't know, with Mankins being out, I don't know what Rex Ryan's going to do as far as the blitzing is concerned. Do you think he's going to be as aggressive with the blitzes with Revis out? And that's what's one of my questions.
Yeah, he hasn't blitzed a lot this season. The Jets have not done a lot of that, and my guess is you're probably right. The reason is because he doesn't have the faith without Revis back there to send extra guys. So he hasn't really been overly aggressive with his pass rush this season.
Okay. Well, that's a start. Like I said, I just want him to I'm just concerned because for the last couple of years, like I said, I don't see – they seem to fix every problem but defensive backfield. I just don't know what they really want to do as far as – are they going to bring up more pressure? Are they – this technique talk, they're talking, it's not working. I'm just a little concerned just in the long run as far as – I still think they can handle the Jets today. But just in the long run, I want to see, you know, maybe them dialing up some different pressures, or, you know, maybe – Dennard or one of the other little cornerbacks stepping up. But just as far as the long run goes, just a little concerned about it. But I think we'll be fine as far as today goes.
All right.
That's my question.
Well, Melvin, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. It sounds like most Patriots fans feel all right about this game, which is interesting. You know,
now, you believe them? Or is that like
no,
kind of talking themselves in?
I do.
No, we'll be fine.
However, most Patriots fans felt good. I felt good going into that Seattle matchup last week. I didn't even think it was going to be close. And, you know, that wound up being a game that I think woke up a lot of Patriots fans to at least how the secondary has been struggling. If you were willing to write it off a little bit through the first couple of games this season and say, well, they've had some struggles back there, I think when it happens against a rookie in Russell Wilson who had not put up eye-popping numbers, I think that gets Patriots fans' attention. I think Mark Sanchez would do something similar. But to answer your question, yeah, it sort of feels similar to how Patriots fans felt last week going into Seattle.
Well, how I think that Patriots fans are confident that they're going to win the game, but they don't seem to be overly confident about what that would say, big picture, and the state of things. I think that the first loss was like, everybody has a bad game. We can blow this one off.
All right, guys.
All right. We can just blow that one off. Then you lose the second game. You kind of had it in control on the road against a very good team, and you let it slip away. That was more about what we did. We didn't finish it off, but we were the better team, and you know, if you had said that we were going to lose to Baltimore on the road and have a chance to win before the game, you'd have been all right with that. But you can blow it off. But then when it happens a third time, when you sort of don't feel like the better team won the game, and I think that Patriots fans probably look at all three games that they lost and didn't feel like the better team won. Do you agree or not?
Well, I think you can certainly look at some of the statistics there, and yeah, that would lead you to believe it. If you saw total yards and such at the end of the game, I think most people would
look at the Patriots.
Yeah, and
I'm not even caring about total yards, because the total Baltimore had over 500 yards
of
total yards.
For three and a half quarters, you were
ahead. I thought the better team was the Patriots.
Yeah.
Not, you know, statistically or any other way. I just think that the Patriots, what the Patriots did, it looked a little bit more like what they wanted to do, as opposed to, you know, like, Seattle last week. I don't think Seattle wants to sit there and just throw the ball 50 yards downfield 5-6 times. Now, give them credit. They completed them, and it worked. But I don't think that I think the Patriots would take the way the game unfolded every time last week and feel confident that we're not going to go 1-for-6 in the red zone most times. And they're going to be confident that we're not going to allow three plays of 30. Was it three passes of 30-plus yards in that game? So that's what I'm talking about. And I think that the Patriots fans are looking at these things and they continue to happen. At some point, you have to stop and say, well, maybe we're not that team that we thought we were. And we're this team down here, a little bit more mediocre. And we have to, until we prove otherwise, we have to sort of lower our expectations a little until we work our way out of it.
Get back to your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. But as we like to do from time to time, let's head back down to the poll center and check in with Matt LaPan. What do you got, Matt?
So for the last poll, 33% going with 150 to 199. 33% also going with 240 to 249.
Just pound the crap out of them.
So a lot of very confident people in the rushing game today.
As they should be. I'm with them.
And we have for the next one, which Jets offensive player poses the biggest threat to the Patriots defense? Sean Green, Mark Sanchez, Jason Hill, Tim Tebow, Stephen Hill.
Yes! Ding, 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 ding.
And fans are with you at 67% right now.
Jason Hill and Stephen Hill were both on that list.
That's one hill of a list.
Good timing on that sound effect. It tells you a little bit about the skill position players. No Keller or anything like that?
Curly? Was he on it?
I mean, look, I just... If I had to pick somebody off of it...
This is why he sends you the polls beforehand. If you want to change him then, don't mock him on the air.
I'm not
send him an email and say, maybe you put Curly in there.
I'm not mocking
He's freaking
him.
People, Matt. I mean, can you...
I think LePan's email just go right to my spam, I think is what happens.
There was no mocking there.
I know, no animosity.
There was no mocking. There was no mocking.
I don't know. I think the biggest threat, like, am I afraid that he's going to have a big day? No, but I think the guy you do want to control is Sean Green, just coming off the week he had. I imagine the Jets are going to try to emphasize him early. He had decent games last year against the Pats. 80 yards in one game, 60 and a touchdown in the other. I mean, you could say it's meaningless, but, you know, he's had decent games against them. I thought in the postseason game 2 years ago, and it's going back a bit, I thought he ran real well in that game. So he
used to be good a few years ago.
He has had.
Talking with Sean Green?
Yes.
Yeah. I was talking to Matt off air.
Yeah, I have no fear of Sean Green beating this
team. I just think he's the guy who you want to take off the board to start the game. And if you do that,
I'd like him on the board the whole four quarters. I'd like him handing it to him the whole time.
Like I said,
worst thing that could happen to the Patriots is they shut him down early and the Jets say, screw it, we're not running anymore.
Not afraid of him. Don't think he's going to have a big game. That's the guy I would be focusing on.
Stephen Hill,
at the start of this
Mr. Fortree running down the field against, I don't know, somebody playing safety who we don't know yet. Not good.
All right, let's check the emails. Webradio@patriots.com. I was going to go to Paul, but he's got some food in his mouth.
I'm ready.
Phil at webradio@patriots.com.
He's made a career of talking with food in his mouth.
Guys, I thought the most interesting thing Richard Sherman said after last week was
you
that,
mad,
the
bro?
that the Patriots weren't built for a quote-unquote heavyweight fight. You couple that with three close losses in which they had a chance to close it out, and it looks like a legitimate point. What are your thoughts on that?
What do you mean by heavyweight fight?
How do you interpret heavyweight fight?
Well, I think...
I would assume a low-scoring
defensive
battle.
Physical, sure. Yeah. Well, you're right. They're probably not all that well built for that. But their idea is to not get in those games, is to be so good at what they do well to not get into those types of games.
And they're good enough to do that.
Right.
And that's why I don't want to get lost.
That's like me saying, I don't think the Seahawks, hey, Richard Sherman, your team's not built for a shootout. Track me. And he would go, yeah, we don't want to play that.
Right. That could get me on, I could do a two-hour show on what Andy just said. Like, the hypocrisy of, for some reason, when you have this defensive team that likes to run the ball, you're built for a heavyweight fight. That's the quote-unquote right way to win. But if you say the other thing that Andy said, it's almost like you get mocked. Like, well, you can't win in a shootout. Like, people say, well, the only way you can win is a shootout. Like, why is that such a derogative? There's a million different ways to win football games in the NFL.
Quickly, when you say people, though, we heard that 10 years ago
I'm
here
in New England. I'm talking about conventional NFL wisdom is you can't win the way the Patriots win. When, for the last 5 years, that all the teams that win, that's how they win. Green Bay, New Orleans,
Giants twice.
Indianapolis, that's how they win. The teams that play a little bit better defensively in a given year, the way the Giants have. Giants had a terrible defense for the most part last year. They had so many injuries. They got it together and they played well enough down the stretch and into the playoffs. Green Bay and New Orleans, they don't have great defenses.
Who's he yelling at? You or me?
Why?
I don't know. You seem like you're yelling at somebody.
Where's the yell?
When I yell, I'm yelling at you. Don't worry.
I don't get it. I'm not yelling at anybody.
It's the conventional. The conventional thought
but I
that
think the
you
way
know,
Andy
right.
said
ground
that
and pound
was exactly
and
right.
Down
you
your
know,
throat
like,
and...
well, you're not built for a shootout. No, you know what? Seattle's not built for a shootout, and that's a flaw in Seattle. But for some reason, no one looks at it that way. They look at it as Seattle saying that New England's not built for a street fight. I agree with Andy. I don't really think we are built for a street fight, but that's like this big fatal flaw, and sooner or later, you're going to lose because of that. Well, what if you just go through and you play well and you get the right matchups and you don't have to have a street fight? Does the Super Bowl not count as much?
Oh, I thought he was yelling at you.
Oh, I was just going to let you. I was just going to let you respond. No,
I'm with Paul. I think all teams are flawed.
End of rant.
My bottom line is there are no teams in the NFL that do a lot of things well. I think there's a few teams that do a few things really well, and then a bunch of teams that just kind of have to play week to week and try to scrap it together. You know, the days of, you know what, I can run the ball, I can throw the ball, I can stop the run, I can play the pass, I can do it. I'm sorry, they're not here right now. I mean, that's not what this league is right now.
The 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers aren't walking through the door. I mean, there's not these teams that
if
are
they
just
do, they're
slack.
Old. Some of them are dead.
You know, these teams that are just have no flaws, they have, you know, nothing but Hall of Famers up and down the lineup, and they can stop you from running it, stop you from throwing it. They can run, they can throw, and they're great on special. There's not that many teams that are just good at everything anymore.
I don't think we have the sense that this one's going to be that street fight, right? That low-scoring, heavyweight fight.
Well, clearly,
that Seattle
if the Jets are going to have a chance to win it, that's what
they
they're going to have to do.
It,
they're going to have to step up and play a defensive game today that they, you know, kind of like what they did to Houston. They kept into that game because they limited what Houston wanted to do a little bit offensively. They made them kick some field goals. They got some stops during the course of the game, and they shortened it. But Houston's offense isn't the Patriots' offense.
We'll get to some official predictions on this game and also from around the league in our six-pack coming up here.
Somebody
in about
stole
five
two from
minutes.
Our six-pack.
It is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey cheddar bacon and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'.
That ham pretty good there, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
He literally is just choking down ham right now. Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398. George is in Pennsylvania. You're next up on Patriots.com. Hey, George.
Hey, how's it going? I don't know how to shut your app off. I just got an iPad, and I don't know how to pause you.
App, he said. I misheard that. Our app.
Yeah, I don't know how to hit pause on the app to call in to where you don't hear yourself in the background. Anyhow,
so can you hear me in the background?
No, actually, I turned it off to call in.
Well, then you know how to turn our crap off.
No, he doesn't know how to pause it. He knows how to shut it
off. Oh,
I thought he said shut our asses off.
Oh, I did too.
I thought this was an insult. It was a comment.
I did too.
We appreciate it, George.
Insult you guys this time. No.
So what do you got today?
Actually, I've got one thing that keeps running through my mind, and it's Patrick Chung being in the right position at the right time, getting hit in the hands, and the ball bouncing off, and he looked surprised that he was in good position. I really don't think they should like waste a lot of money and resources trying to re-sign him next year.
I think most fans would agree with you, especially after the last few weeks. He has not played well. I think the problem is, it seems like they keep getting him over the slot and in coverage, and that's just not his game. That's just not his game at all. He needs to be playing near the line of scrimmage, playing the run, short passes, hitting tight ends and crossing receivers. But I feel like he's been in coverage down the field way too often.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't think it'll take a whole lot I could see him re-signing, but because he wants to be back.
Oh, his value is dropping by the day.
No. I don't think, you know, if they...
You were saying he was worth the arm and a leg, and I'm thinking, it's like, oh, well, should we sign Welker because there's guys we need to keep?
Right.
And it's like, that's not one of them.
No, there was certainly talk this spring
absolutely,
that Michael Griffith got this, and, you know, how many,
maybe
$40 million?
Maybe he gets franchised.
Hell no.
If he can, good for him. Best wishes.
Oh, yeah, just won't be here.
He doesn't seem like a bad kid, but he's not.
Oh, he's not.
All
he's
that.
A
good
not a
guy.
Bad kid,
and if he can snooker somebody into $40 million, then good for him. Take the money and run.
And I agree with Andy's assessment. His coverage is definitely lacking.
And George, thanks for the phone call.
And on
by
some
way,
teams, that might not be an issue, but on a team whose coverage is lacking, to have
corner,
a safety whose coverage is lacking,
his coverage ability lacks.
That really gets magnified.
And George, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. I feel like Chung, maybe not quite as pronounced as Devin McCourty last year, but McCourty is a guy who people came in pretty confident in, obviously, going into last season. A lot of people don't feel that way about him anymore. I honestly felt okay about Chung coming into this season, and it just seems like he has been exposed time after time after time. I don't know if I was missing it in the past. I don't know if it's because he hasn't been on the field so much in the past that maybe you just don't notice it.
I think that's the hit right there.
But we just have not seen him play well when he's been out there this season.
I think a lot of people have said if he can stay healthy, he can be A, B, and C. And I think that he has ability. I'm not saying that he's a stiff. I mean, let's not beat up on Patrick Chung time. But
his strong suit is not.
I think that what happens is when a guy is out there, you know, on a part-time basis, and let's face it, that's what he's been. He played all the games his rookie year, but he didn't really play defense. Then the next two seasons, he was banged up a little bit. And I think last year he only played half the games. I think he played eight of the games and missed the last eight. And I think people look at that and they say, wow, if this guy can get out there and play, he can do some things. But then you realize when he does get out there and he plays on a consistent basis, he's sort of a limited player. And as I said, and Andy said, the limitation is he's not really built to be this cover guy over the slot and worked in a lot of different ways like the way the Patriots used to use Rodney Harrison. You know, I don't think that's what he's made out to be. I also think he's a little on the small side and tries to play with a very physical presence. He's a pretty good tackler, but when you're that size, I think that when you try to throw your weight around, you're going to get banged up, and that's what's happened to him.
All right, we'll continue with your feedback. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Coming up next, we head up to the press box, hear from Eric Scalavino, who had a feeling Logan Mankins may not be active for that one, for this one today against the Jets, rather. We'll get his thoughts on why that was. And we do our six-pack, actually scratch that, four-pack next here on patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of Americard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Woo! Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo!
Get inside the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
All right, Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, taking you up to Pats and Jets. Kickoff at 4:25, right? I should have said it like Paul. We're back.
Don't have the street lingo down.
We're back here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Pee-pee in the
We already dropped. We already dropped the G off Dunkin' on this program, so we're in good shape. You just heard how to get in touch, 508-298-0398.
30 years ago.
Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Did want to announce our winner of our giveaway. Scott Stevens of Lexington, Massachusetts, is the winner of our Bose SIE2.
NHL defenseman?
I don't think so. Is he from Lexington? He's from Mass, right?
I don't know where he's from.
But we do have our winner. To push your workout to the limit, you need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat and weather resistance, and a comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok fitness armband. You demand more from your workout. Shouldn't you demand more from your headphones as well? Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And again, we announce the winner, or give away one of these at least, each and every Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. So tune in next week. We'll be doing it again then. Typically, at this time, we pick six games from around the NFL. However, with the Patriots being late and with the NLCS going on Fox, they bumped just about all the games to one. So we'll be doing a four-pack this week.
Ah, nothing like cracking open a six-pack.
One more.
Andy, Paul, and Adam pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
All right, to do that, we're going to bring in Kevin Collins here. Collins, before we get to the games, I understand that we have some standings for this season. We've actually been keeping track. I'm not sure how official these figures are. But
no, they're not.
What do you have there?
No, I have. Andy's they're on not. Crack. Andy's 1-5.
We didn't start last week. We had a week before that.
You were 1-5 last week. You are 8-10 on the season.
Oh, okay.
Paul, 5-1 last week, 12-6 for the season. Jonestradamus, as he refers to himself.
Jonestradamus.
Correct. 4-2 last week, tied with Paul at 12-6.
You're pronouncing that wrong, by the way, Andy. The pronunciation is way off there.
Any professional radio personality who forgets to turn his mic on is a dumbass.
Andy was talking over it a little bit.
Everybody heard it. Move on!
Paul and myself, 12-6. Andy,
I'm going to play a little
sub 500 this week.
Get 5-1 last week for me.
Get this thing going here. All right, Kevin. Only four games on the docket this week. What's our first one?
Obviously, the Jets at the Patriots. We got New England giving up 10, according to Danny Sheridan's lines here.
Okay.
I will take the New England Patriots to win and cover. I think they run the ball early, throw the ball late, and run away with it.
I agree. I think there's just too much offense here, and I think this is a really tough spot for the Jets. And the Patriots are pretty upset. I think they come to town with something to prove. They come back to town, I should say, and I don't think this game will be very close. I think this is going to be a blowout.
The fact that Andy picked it is making me rethink it, giving that track record.
Oh, that's so funny! Because I lost Patriots last week, well. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm going to go for the Patriots to cover that 10-point spread. What's up next, Kevin?
All right, second game, Jacksonville at Oakland. Oakland giving up 6.5.
I'll have you know, I once went through an entire postseason undefeated in picks.
Really?
So go screw yourself.
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
No lie. Very impressed by that.
And Paul can back it up. I don't remember when it was or how it worked, but it really happened.
It did happen.
What was the game? I'm sorry. I was bragging.
Oakland is favored by 6.
Taking on
Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah.
At home
I will
against
take,
Jacksonville.
As much as I really don't like to take Oakland ever, I will take them to win and cover because I like taking Jacksonville less than anyone almost on the planet, and I think Oakland gets it done.
I agree. I'm going to take Oakland. I think Jacksonville is one of those teams that I don't think I'll pick in any game in any way all year. I think they're a very, very bad football team. And as much as I don't think much of Oakland, I think they are better than the Jaguars. I'll lay the 6.5.
This is going to be boring, but I'm going to follow suit.
I see how it is. You guys won't let me catch up by just picking all the same pick games
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do the next 11 days.
All three of you absolutely. Pick the same on both games.
Absolutely. It's got to be the case. Look, the Oakland, Oakland... I don't think they're good. Carson Palmer called it a must-win game this week. I would tend to agree. You can't afford to lose to Jacksonville and go anywhere.
It's more like a can't lose than a must-win.
So I don't know. I don't expect Jacksonville to be able to maybe even get the double digits in scoring even against that Oakland D. So I will go with the Raiders. Kevin, what's our next game?
We have Pittsburgh as a road favorite at Cincinnati, which is the night game tonight. Pittsburgh -1.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I thought Andy was going to go first. I'm sorry.
Well, no, he's putting up a stink now, so we can pick first. We can rotate
it
around.
Yeah, you pick first, and I'll go.
I'm going to take the Steelers. Not feeling great about it, but Cincinnati has been very sloppy the last few weeks. Dalton throwing some picks, although I still think that he is developing into a pretty good quarterback. I think Pittsburgh finds a way. This will not be a pretty game tonight. This will be a close game, and I think the Steelers find a way to win it.
I will disagree.
Okay.
I'm going to go Bengals at home.
All right.
And I think we've seen a little bit of finger-pointing going on with the Steelers, which would bother me if I were rooting for that team. You know, you have Ben Roethlisberger coming out, and when he's second-guessed by the media why they haven't gone downfield as much this season, he's throwing Todd Haley under the bus and calling it a dink-and-dunk offense. I think there's some signs of cracks there within the Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought they would come back to earth a little bit this season. They're at 2-3. I think that's for real. So I will go with Cincinnati at home and take that point.
Yeah, I'm really torn on this one. I kind of agree with both. I don't feel good about the Steelers, but I think they are the better team. But they are struggling. They're banged up. I'm just going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with Adam on this one, just strictly for the home team. And the only thing that really scares me almost out of both teams is a deep ball. Does Roethlisberger hit Wallace, or does, you know, the Red Rifle hit Green? Other than that, this game blows.
So we get the fourth and final game here. Detroit at Chicago, which I believe is the Monday night game. And Chicago giving up 6.5 points here.
Yeah, I will take the Lions on the road at Chicago. I just think the way they've started, I just expected them to be better by this point. I don't love the matchup with Matt Stafford, a little turnover prone, going against a defense that does turn you over. I do think they can hang by less than a touchdown. I don't know if they go into Chicago and win, but I'll take Detroit and those 6.5 points.
I'm going to take Chicago. I still like Detroit as a team, but there's something missing there, and I'm not sure that they're ready to go on the road and beat a team that I think is playing pretty well right now. I don't have a lot of faith in Cutler. That's well documented, but I will take the Chicago Bears on Monday night.
I am going to take the Chicago Bears as well. The something lacking in Detroit to me is just discipline on and off the field. And I think they're going in the wrong direction. I think they have peaked in terms of rebirth under Stafford and Schwartzy. I think you will see another head coach there in a year or two, and maybe he can control the talent because I do think they have some talent. But I like the Bears at home. Unless you force Cutler into one of those days, I think it's the Stafford side that is going to be on the losing proposition of the turnovers.
All right. So that's our weekly six-pack, which is only a four-pack this week again because of the
robbed! Couple
hopefully,
light.
Hopefully we'll get a full
fell
six
off
games
the truck, so
on
a couple
the docket
fell out,
coming up. Maybe we'll make those two games up a little later in the year. Maybe
an eight-pack.
Maybe we'll mix in an eight-pack at some point. Who knows?
Ooh,
really.
That better be during the bye week. I won't be able to write after that.
really let our hair down and maybe break out an eight-pack there. Let's get to these emails. Webradio@patriots.com. It's where Tony writes in. Guys,
ooh, Donald Trump is here walking around, Robert Kraft. Go ahead.
In the building.
This well, is after, I think outside the building.
Gotcha.
But.
This is after all the A-Rod bashing he's been doing
nationally. I hope his hair is not blowing around.
That was here earlier when that happened, right? Where it's just wafted in the breeze.
Yeah.
That was here. That's why he wants to stay inside. Doesn't want to be waltzing around outside.
Good Lord, he keeps interrupting himself.
Tony writes in, I feel Coach Belichick responsible for losing two Super Bowls and most of their last loss simply because he leaves too much time on the clock by hurrying the offense when leading. Is he suffering the Chuck Knoll syndrome? You know, a lot of success early in coaching, and now nobody will tell him he's wrong, and thus causing him to think everything he does is genius.
Well, I don't want to dispute it, but he had a lot of success early, mid, and relatively of late. You know, he's hit a couple speed bumps here. It happens. As Paul said, you know, there's certain years where, like, the team, even Bill admitted, just doesn't come together how you expect it to. Chemistry-wise, you know, big playability, you know, key playmaking ability, some of those things. Maybe this is one of those years, but just because the guy can't draft a cornerback doesn't mean the game has passed him by.
Yeah, and, you know, I seem to recall last year, this past Super Bowl, there was a lot of criticism that the Patriots didn't use the no huddle enough. Remember, they came out in the second half. You know, they ended the first half. They had the touchdown drive in the two-minute drill with the hurry up. And then they opened the second half, hurry up, and they went right down the field and scored. And then they kind of went back to conventional offense. And it's funny, you know, 8 months later or whatever we are now, we're complaining, you know, is the offense too fast and we leave too much time on the clock? Well, the problem wasn't the offense leaving too much time on the clock. The problem was the offense not scoring.
Right.
You know, with the lead, they had the game right in their grasp, and they couldn't put it away.
LePan was here on the postgame show. We're sitting here watching, and I go, Seattle almost scored too fast. They left Brady too much time. Like, I was convinced
last
they were
going
to... Yes,
yeah.
In the Seattle game.
Very first thing I said to Andy, and Andy laughed at me. I go, they scored too fast.
I was
because you're living
Jones
in about 7 years ago.
The Patriots are going to walk right down the field, kick field.
Well, that means you're both living in about 7 years ago.
Because
that's how it used to work, but it doesn't work that way anymore.
I'm just saying,
you would say, I can't make Aaron Hernandez catch the ball.
Well, if you're going to hit Aaron Hernandez crossing in the hands, I'd like him to catch it.
Look, my point is, whether you thought they were going to come back or not, they had time to come back, would be my point. So I would disagree with his premise that, you know, they're scoring too quickly and leaving too much time. They left so much time on the clock that they were able to get the ball back, if you want to go with that.
And it's these things. I feel like lately there's so many of these situations where it's like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like, if you give Ridley two carries in a row and he gets 1 yard, well, now you screwed up and you handed the ball off. You're not a running team. Put your foot on their throat and finish it. And if you go throw it, then he should be running the ball late in the fourth quarter. It's, you know, back to the, you know, I joked he can't draft corners. That's kind of his downfall right now, is he can't draft corners. But everybody keeps saying, you know, he's picked versatile guys like Devin McCourty instead of picking guys who can cover. Well, who are these guys he passed over? Is it Kyle Wilson, who Rich Simonyi just said can't cover, who was right that very next pick or whatever it was, two picks later? You know, name these guys that he's passed over because he was looking for versatility, not a guy who could cover.
The play calling thing is the epitome of if the play works, it's a good call. If it doesn't, it's a bad call. And I hate that. I hate when there's no analysis other than the result.
Well, here's a quick one for you. Last week, going into halftime, we haven't even touched on this decision yet from Belichick. You know, he was super conservative the second-to-last drive of the half. They didn't go for it on fourth and one. They settled for a field goal. And then on the next drive, they were super aggressive. They tried to squeeze in an extra play with 6 seconds left. So, I don't know. That's sort of Bill, I guess, not being consistent with those decisions.
But I think it's consistent. At the end of the half, that last drive, they always try to score a touchdown.
They did it in the Baltimore game, as yes, Bill said.
They did it in the Baltimore game. They've done it before. It's like they think that swing there where you come back out and score again is like, that's when, in my opinion, that's when they think they finish games. You know, all this problems about finishing games in the fourth quarter, I think they think they can finish some games.
End of second, beginning of the third.
End of second, beginning of third. I can end this game right here with back-to-back possessions, 14-point swing, or even a 10-point, whatever it is. I put my foot on the throat here instead of in the fourth quarter. They've been pretty consistent with that.
Yeah, and, you know, you bring up the Baltimore game, and there was, I think it was only one second different. I think it was 7 seconds.
Right.
They ran the play, and Edelman caught the touchdown. This was 6 seconds. They ran the play, and
but they
obviously
ended with,
it didn't go well.
They had to kick off in Baltimore. I believe it ended with 2 seconds, right? It didn't end the half. It's the same amount of time.
It's not like they didn't have
the time.
Yeah. I didn't understand what you were saying,
I
agree with you.
I had zero problem with them trying to squeeze it in with 6 seconds left.
It was an execution problem, I had
a bigger issue with not going for it on fourth and one. That was my
I was a little
issue.
Surprised they didn't
the
go for
half.
That fourth down. I agree with you. To me, it's not so much about the coaching stuff, though. I think we put I think these coaches have established that they know how to put together a winning program. You know, at this point, I don't think we have to worry about it.
Update, and we can check in with him momentarily. But Eric says, entire Patriots team is out stretching. O-line came out without Dan Conley.
Interesting.
Oh, wait. Patriots O-lineman on the field now. No sign of Dan Conley.
All right. Well, let's get the latest and head up to the press box with Eric
Scott. Eric, where's Dan Conley?
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, Eric, joining us from the press box here inside Gillette Stadium. Eric, you've been hanging out on the phones for a little bit. I believe you just heard Andy Hart reading your tweets. No Connolly out on the field. What's the latest there?
Yeah, that's a development last minute right here. When the team came out, I was looking mostly to see if it was going to be, you know, Donald Thomas in that first group of O-line, because typically when the O-line comes out, they come out, the starting five come out, and then the reserves are behind them. And I saw Donald Thomas, which I thought, okay, that means he'll be in there. But then I saw Nick McDonald, and I said, I don't see Dan Conley. Then I thought, well, maybe I'm just, you know, there's a crowd of people, maybe I lost them. They broke up in the stretching groups, and Freddie Kirsch next to me was looking and didn't see him. And then they broke up into the positional groups to warm up, and there were just six offensive linemen, and Dan Conley was not among them. So at this point, it looks like your starting O-line today is going to be Ryan Wendell at center. Next to him at guard, you've got Donald Thomas left, Nick McDonald on the right, and then Solder and Vollmer at left and right tackle, with one reserve, and that's Marcus Cannon, at least right now. I don't know where Dan Connolly is, but he's not on the field right now.
I mean, is there any possibility that Conley is, you know, had to get retaped or something?
Pooping?
I would hold out that hope, Paul, because he wasn't among the inactive.
I'd be rooting for it.
And he wasn't on the injury
Everybody
report
poops.
All week. So it's possible he's having some equipment problem right now, or he's getting that attended to. But at the moment, we're, you know, a half hour to kickoff here just about, and I only see six offensive linemen right now. That's a problem.
Well, it certainly wasn't planned for, you know, and that's, I mean, obvious. I mean, you wouldn't have one lineman down. Clearly something happened here between pre-game warm-ups and now pre-game warm-ups. So let's get back to the big note on the offensive line, which is obviously Logan Mankins not playing. You seem to have an inkling of that. Where did that come from, and where does it leave the Patriots?
Well, it sort of came from just conversations with people up here today, and then just, you know, looking over the history that he has this season with, you know, missing practice time and surprisingly missing the Buffalo game, and just, you know, just my gut telling me that this could be a game where he is another surprise scratch, and that ended up being the case. Where does it leave them? I think you can at least look back to that Buffalo game and say that Donald Thomas, who performed very poorly against Arizona when he was playing right guard, switched over to left in place of Mankins against Buffalo and had probably his best effort yet as a professional. And I think you can take some comfort in that, at least, that he's, you know, comfortable in that spot, and maybe the drop-off won't be too severe.
And the Jets' front is not nearly as good as the Arizona front right now, especially with, I'm not going to say it, but their nose tackle out, Pua, whatever his name
is.
Yep. And you know, it just could change. I think most of us thought, okay, come in and establish the run, then throw later off of that play action. I wonder, A, if they're going to be able to do that as well with two backups potentially at guard, and B, a bigger factor in my mind is Tom Brady. And if he's not comfortable, and we've seen him kind of expect the rush to get there, almost assume the rush is coming, and if he's uncomfortable with some of the guys in front of him, I wonder if that gets into his head at some point.
Yeah, that's certainly plays into this, I think, Andy, because, you know, like you said, we've seen him, you know, in some cases almost comically try to anticipate the rush way before the guy's even in the backfield. And it's definitely a concern, given just that the offensive line hasn't really been itself all season this year. There really hasn't been a week where you've said, yeah, this is our five. They're complete. They're all healthy. They're all playing well. And that trend just continues. And, you know, we're heading into midseason now. And if Tom Brady's not comfortable in this game, you know, maybe they try to start out then, therefore, and just try to establish more of the run, which they certainly got away from last week in Seattle, even though they had the lead.
All right, let's jump to the other side of the football where everybody wants to talk about the safeties. Obviously, yep. Chung and Gregory are out, and I'm reading now the tweets that the warm-up starters, quote-unquote, are Tavon Wilson and Nate Ebner, the guys we saw get toasted at the end of the game last week by Russell Wilson. Do you think this is just a kind of scam, for lack of a better word, that they're putting up a facade here, and when we get to the game, somebody other than Ebner will be out there, or are the Patriots for a heap of trouble in the back end?
Well, I think they're in a heap of trouble in the back end, regardless of who's back there, just because they're without their two starting safeties. But your other point is probably true, that we've seen them do this before, where they've come out in one look in warm-ups and do something entirely different once the game started. Now, for what it's worth, the backup safeties that are currently taking reps now were Sterling Moore, who has taken two second-team reps before in warm-ups, and Marquise Cole. Julian Edelman is also back there as like a nickel back that I'm seeing in warm-ups. So
it begins. Offensive players playing defense. Matthew Slater, is he around?
That's why he's active.
Matthew Slater is around, but I haven't seen him yet take a snap on defense. That doesn't mean he won't, but...
So I got to think Sterling Moore is going to play, because I just cannot see Bill Belichick going into a big AFC East game against the Jets and saying, Nate, rugby player Ebner is my starting safety.
I'm completely with you, and that's the first thing I thought of when I saw that Chung wasn't active, was that, you know, Moore, who has experience at the position, not a whole lot, but he has way more experience than Ebner does, is the logical choice there. And, you know, maybe that's what we'll still end up seeing. But, you know, as of right now, in the warm-ups, you've got two rookies back there starting in the secondary. So you better hope that the Jets try to continue their ground and pound like they did last week against the Colts and try to establish their running game as well, because that plays right into the Patriots' strengths on defense.
All right, before we run you off the phone here, I'll give you like 30 seconds to talk all flowery-like about the throwback uniforms, because I know you love them. Go.
Absolutely love it. It's the best time of year. We know every October, and almost now every Jets game, if it's in October, they're gonna suit up in these things. It just brings me back to the '85 season, the first time I started watching them.
And back when you had hair and you could get a girl.
Way back then, yeah, so long ago, so another lifetime. I feel like I'm born again today with these uniforms.
All right, go away. Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, Eric, thanks for the phone call. He joins us from the press box here leading up to Patriots and Jets. Kickoff a little over a half hour away.
This game got more exciting for me with the injuries and the Mankins out.
And the uniforms.
I mean, we totally underestimated the uniforms.
I think they think they're going to kill him and they're holding all these guys out. How's that sound?
I think it got more interesting. I do, as a game, theatrically. And, you know, you have Edelman warming up in the secondary. And you have, if Nate Ebner plays, it's a great story. It could be a bad great story, but it's an interesting story if he plays.
What you just said, is that tongue-in-cheek, or is that you think there's something to that?
Very much so. Now, do I think that they have something
are you asking me if he really thinks they're just blowing him out and screwing around?
No, but I'm saying...
Right. That's why I said yes, it's very much tongue-in-cheek was my answer.
But is there something to, all right, you know, maybe we're not as afraid of this Jets defensive line, so this is a game where maybe we can get away with Mankins. Is there nothing to that?
No, with Mankins,
I can hear Bill now. We don't look at it that way.
No, they don't look at it that way, and no, I don't think anybody
does. That's what they tell us.
But I think that you can look at some of those things, like Dont'a Hightower. You know, we're playing a physical team that we need a run stopper, and he's not quite ready to go. I want that guy to be 100% this week. That I could see, you know. Maybe you weigh into, but Logan Mankins is either ready to play or he's not. He's a key part. Try not to break anything. He's such a key part of that offensive line.
Oops.
If he's ready to play, he's playing. Now, clearly, he's not ready to play. So You got to adjust accordingly.
One more. I told him the other day, karma biting him in the ass.
One more thought here. Web radio at Patriots.com. James writes in on Rex Ryan. Guys, totally random question. If Rex Ryan lost his job, would you want him as a defensive coordinator?
Yes.
I would, but
because I think a melding of conservative Bill Belichick and aggressive Rex Ryan might give you a great defense.
And you know what the other part of that is Rex Ryan is such a game-playing guy, just like Belichick. It really has a lot of things that he does that are very similar to the way Bill likes to go about it, but I don't think they would have any.
But don't you think it'd be fun of Rex Ryan, like, coming in, saying A, B, and C, Bill, let's try this week, and Bill goes, no. And then he goes, well, how about this? And he goes, no. And then the third thing, Bill goes, okay, I'll give you that one this week.
Right, but we agree it never happened, but, you know.
I wouldn't say it would never happen.
I don't think it would ever
happen. They employed Orion previously. Rob, Rex, they're all the same. They're twins.
I guess that's a fair point.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was that strong. I didn't know it would work that well.
I mean, you used Orion. I'll give you that. That was something that I had forgotten about previously. So I'll give you that. That was a fair counterpoint.
I shut up the ESPN host with one little lame argument that I didn't even think would work.
I can't tell if Paul's frustrated with the game or if he's frustrated that I conceded that point. I can't completely get a read on
There's
that.
Some big touchdowns being scored in the last minute of games everywhere.
So, yeah, Giants and Skins going back and forth.
Titans
Robert
just
Griffin
scored a
threw
touchdown
him ahead and it looked
on
like
a fourth
the
and nine. They
back.
Let a touchdown up the Bills. So they might be dropping out of the first place tie.
All right. Well, we'll get you up to speed on all of that on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, which follows Patriots and Jets kickoff a little under a half an hour away. We appreciate all your feedback here on the program. Our thanks to Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. And I'll talk to you after this one right here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots square off with the New York Jets.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks and fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.